Fans by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another hour of the finest on grassroots of the game. I'm delighted to say, on this chilly but sun laden day, I'm joined by a man with a bigger grin than usual, manager extraordinaire, currently ripping up trees at step 5 of Chertsey Town, Mr. Dave Anderson. Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year to you and to everyone that listens. You know, a bit of man flu, as you can hear, but I'm soldier or
not. I'm not taking the blame for that. Now, I mentioned the smile because more FA VAR success for you last weekend.
Yeah. We beat St Austell 5-0, and I think I'd have to say on record that it was harsh on St Austell 5, because I think the first half an hour of the game was a real sort of humdinger, and as much as that I thought that a reasonable penalty shout turned down and they scored a goal that was offside, and to be fair, it was tight, and you only hear this many times, but the officials on the day were really good, so I'd have to back him, he got it right. But and in between such times, we had chances, and had some friends there who don't normally watch our level of football and thought it was a great game, you know, but goals change games, and we scored two just before half time, really bump 2-0, and I think then you'd back us to go on, and we did. Second half, you know, I thought we dominated, and at the minute we're quite clinical, so it ended up 5-0. So yeah, it's nice to be sitting in a cup competition as big as the FA VAR is, with sort of 20 minutes to go, being 4-0 up. You can nearly sort of enjoy the last 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, and it looked a difficult draw because Oslo had been banging in goals in previous rounds and really upsetting people as well.
Yeah, good team and good number nine, and we'd done well to keep him quiet most of the day. I'd say that the first 20 minutes, you know, I thought he was a handful, and I thought they, as I said, they were well in the football match. But they would cause you problems and did cause us problems. But as everybody knows, it's goals that change the mood of the game. And fortunately for us, we scored two in quick succession just before the break, which really you couldn't wish for any better, really, and that's how it worked.
Yeah, goals are good, and particularly when you're the manager, but it also attracts a lot of attention, particularly on social media. You know, I know with my own club, we're banging in goals at the moment, and you get the critics, you get the people, you know, suggesting that you're money bags.
Do you get that as well? Yeah.
We're the Billericay of Step 4 this year, and are you the Billericay of Step 5?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I try not to get too involved in that, but you know, it's, I think that, and you'll know this now because you're in the same position, that when you're at the top of the division, people are always looking at ways to poke you with a stick and to justify why they're not top of the division. I know, I mean, listen, I ain't seen any, but I've been told there's been a few people sticking on about the money, and I find, you know, I look at it the way that if other people at the level are aiming their interest at my club and what my club's doing, then they're obviously, we've got under their skin a little bit. And I can assure you, I have no idea what any other budget is in the division, and I don't care. It's nothing to do with me. I do know that I wish I had the budget that people think we did. I wish I had the money that I think that people think we have. But we don't, and I never feel the need to justify that. Let them, you know, my assistant manager, Steve Hawkins, is who would probably do more talking, you know, Steve, than I would. And he said his way of dealing with it is when someone sort of poses the question, you know, oh, here your budget's, you know, $5,000. He'll go, no, it's $50,000. You know, he'll, whatever, I hear it's $10,000. No, it's $100,000. Because it's all, you know, it's.
Well, it, I mean, yeah. We've had this debate how many years
nobody knows.
Even most people in their own club doesn't know what the budget is. And people talk about budgets in a different way. Does it include managers, physios, coach travel?
Expenses. But you know, for me, the only people at my club that know how much we get expenses wise is me. My staff don't even know; it's none of their business. But it doesn't bother me, and long may people continue to do it, because they're obviously taking their eye off the ball, in my opinion. You ask our supporters what they think of it, what they're getting for their money, I think they'd be pleased at the minute.
Well, it doesn't matter how big your budget is, you've still got to play decent football and get the results from
it. Yeah, listen, I've spoke to Dean Brennan several times, and believe me, it's nowhere near what their budget is.
And you're getting the results, yeah, and he's not. When you first said that you were going to come out of retirement from management, the FA VAR was the thing that seemed to have tickled you and sort of brought you back in. Has it been as exciting as you'd hoped?
Yeah, it's been. Listen, so far, it's been, I mean, for me, Dave Rayner, who got back involved with Chertsey, and it was the guy that sort of talked me out of my retirement. You knew I was very happy. We've spoken many times. But he had a real passion for the VAR. I always think managers are judged on how many leagues they win or how many promotions they get. I always think winning a cup is, if you've five good games, you can win any cup. But as I've got into it, and we've tried to focus on every game as opposed to just the VAR. Now we're down to the last 16. Then obviously now we're getting a bit more attention, and people are, you know, Saturday was 500 at the game, which is Chertsey's biggest crowd for maybe, I'm told, 20 odd years. You realise that it's becoming a bigger event. I mean, I think there's two things. The first thing is that I'm fortunate in the squad I've got, the vast majority of them have all played in bigger games. They've all played in massive games. Dale Binns has played in the FA Trophy final at Wembley, never mind the FA VARs. So they're aware of who they are and what they are, which is very important, because we are a million miles from Wembley and we're a million miles from a league title. And the further up the mountain you go, the thinner the air gets. But I've got players who will deal with the thin air, and I feel that I'm experienced enough as a manager to deal with the thin air. So we're enjoying it, and it's the same old story. After each win, enjoy it, guys. That was very, very good. But put it to bed tomorrow and let's move on to the next one. And last night we beat Sutton in the County Cup, and we treated that exactly the same as every other game, you know.
The seriousness of the FA VARs, though, this next round, with the draw, it's a proper national competition for you now.
Oh, it is now. Now I feel like I'm back at where I was a few years ago, where we're looking at how to get up there. We can obviously travel on the Friday.
So at Earlham FC up in Manchester. So it's a long trip.
Yeah, and we're sort of looking at, you know, going up by train, because the coach on a Friday night can be 5 or 6 hours, and that's, we spoke about maybe traveling up Friday morning and training up there somewhere, but some of the guys can't get time off work, so we'll just go Friday, probably by train, stay locally and then go to the game on a Saturday. I would say that they probably know as much about us as we do about them. And the next couple of weeks, they'll be scrambling to find out as much about us and vice versa, because you have to do your homework. But it's an adventure, and it's good fun. And it's, you know, if you seriously want to try and do well, you have to do it. You have to do as much as you can do. So, you know, yes, we will try and find out as much as we can about them. We will find out that where we travel, how we travel, what time we get there. That'll all be done, and it'll be done professionally, and I'd imagine they'll be exactly the same. St Austell did the same to us, arrived on the Friday, had a quick chat with their manager after the game. And it's good, because it's big boys football, but it's a long way to go to get stuffed, so you really want to go and try and do well, you know?
It's a long way there, but it's an even longer way back.
Absolutely, Tim, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's 2nd of February. That's a few weeks away, so you've got time to do your recces.
And big games in between, so, you know, as much as we need to speak about it with the guys to find out who can make the train station at whatever time we're going at, or what's the, you know, are we going to go by coach, train? As much as we need to discuss that with the players, we will do that in the next couple of days. But we will be, you know, and we have done. But from Thursday onwards, we'll only have our focus on our next game, which is Hamworth Villa on Saturday in the league. And, you know, it's a massive game, because it's a league that's becoming a two-horse race, but it isn't yet, you know.
Yeah, you and Sutton Common Rovers are top 45 points both, but you've got two games in hand. This game, your next game coming up, takes you to the halfway point for the season as well. So it shows how much further you still got to go.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. And the same with, I mean, effectively to win, you're halfway up the mountain in the league, and as much as I think we've maybe won four or five games in the Vaz, we're not much more over halfway in it because we got to play last 16, last 8. So we'd have to play two-legged semi-final. So that's four games, realistically, to get to the final. So we're only halfway to where we need to be in both counts. But with the league, I think that we just need to deal with everything. Same old stupid stuff, but every game at a time. We've also got to be prepared that if we do keep doing well in the Vaz, and we're also in the Surrey Senior Cup and we're still in the League Cup, if we continue success in all of those, then towards the end of the season we might be playing three games a week. Now, we have to accept that because that's the rules, and if you want to keep winning games, you've got to keep playing games. So yeah, we're very aware of what it is. I think as well that when we get into the second half of the season, I expect the experience within my squad to help our situation. I think within our league, our experience is, we mightn't be quicker than everybody in the league. We mightn't be better defensively, although we are, if you look at the record. But the one thing that I would say is my dressing room is more experienced than anyone else in our division.
And halfway through, and you're still smiling. So you're enjoying it.
Still smiling with man flu and everything, you know.
We soldier on.
We do, mate. We do. But and it's, you know, Northern Ireland. I've got a little house tag, you know. I've got the tracksuit on today, you know, which I just.
Well, I was going to ask you if you're coming out of playing retirement as well.
I just put it on because I get out of a sick bed, but I they had a little house tag and it was Dare to Dream. And I wouldn't say for Churchill to use it. I would say for every non-league club to use it, Dare to Dream, because that's what you have to do.
That's the only reason we're still involved.
Absolutely, son.
So let's start off with a club we've not spoken to for over a year, but I've been keeping an eye on, that was drawn this week to the chairman offering refunds to fans after an 8-3 home defeat. When we last spoke to Basford United chairman Chris Monroe, his side were riding high at the top of the Evo Stick First Division South, which they went on to win last season, and now they ply their trade in the Evo Stick Premier, where they suffered that defeat on Saturday. To tell us more, I'm delighted to say Chris just joins us on the line again. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Good afternoon, Tim. Good afternoon, Dave.
Right.
Now, it's been a pretty good first season at Step 3 for you. So what happened on Saturday?
Those days, Tim, that everything that could go against us went against us. We've, you know, nothing away from Hyde, who were absolutely brilliant on the day. And perhaps the wrong opposition. We've come off the back of a big injury list. And Saturday, to be honest, we had five pulling out. Well, wanted to pull out in the morning of the game with the flu, so everything that could go wrong really went wrong that day, to be honest. So we'll put it behind us and move forward.
But straight after the game, you made a statement that it was a totally unacceptable performance and offered these refunds. Was it that bad?
It was for the standards that we've set all this season, and that's why it was so out of keeping with what we've delivered, you know, especially at home where we've had a fantastic record, but you know, it was a very lacklustre and unenergetic performance, and it was really only until the sort of facts came to light, you know, after our investigation, that you know it just sort of all stacked up as to why it was so poor. But yeah, we offer value to our supporters and away supporters, and we didn't feel it was acceptable Saturday. So yeah, we offered the refund.
I would have said with what you've given them over the last several years, Chris, they've more than owed you something because you've had promotion after promotion. You know, you're a hard taskmaster, that's for sure. But for on a managerial side of it, you know, if you're trying to put out a team that's sort of maybe got 10 or 11 people missing from what you can pick from it, it's a very, very difficult ask. Surely your supporters would have been aware of that.
I think the problem was, Dave, was that they were not aware of it on the day because, you know, five of the players that actually started the game were regular players, and it was just so out of keeper for them to not perform. And, you know, there was an underlying reason, which they were not aware, you know, the people not aware of. So no, that was the thing. And this was the discussion I had with the manager, because, you know, we said that perhaps in hindsight we should have put the kids out and just you know, took a beating. But in a way, it's sort of more palatable, because, you know, you're putting kids out, but not when you put established players out that are not fit.
Yeah, it's I get that. It's I'm just thinking of the manager side. You get stuck in that situation where you're desperate when you've got as many missing as obviously your gaffer did, and you know you're then putting people out who aren't 100% because you feel that's the best option you've got on the day. But listen, it's a one glitch in a massive. How's the rest of the year been so far?
It's been very good, and like I say, you know, we've had a sticky run because, as I say, we are missing seven regular starters since we beat Scarborough on the 1st of December, and wow. it's been really relentless. But we're still, you know, at the moment, we're still sitting, I think, 7 points outside the playoffs with the game in hand. So there's certainly a lot of season left in this season for us.
And your gates now, what are you pulling in average now?
Yeah, the gates they're good for us, because, as I say, I think when I spoke to you last year, we were just about 220 something. Yeah. But now we're over 300 as an average. And
wow.
I think that'll go up this week because we've got South Shields on Saturday. So that'll push the average up for the season, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, you mentioned South Shields, and they're a club that I've been tracking as well, because like my own club, Hayes and Yedding, are unbeaten at home or won every one of their home games so far in the league. But away from home, they're struggling a bit. So is this a potential one? How are those injuries? How are those people with flu? Are you going to get some points out of this game?
Well, that's what we're certainly going out for, Tim, because, we've got everybody bar two back, I think. We've pulled in two signings this week as well, which are great signings for the club. So I think, yeah, we're going out because we've got a very good home record. And, you know, we'll be fit and ready to go. And I think people will see a very determined response just off the back of what happened last week. So it's the game's come at the right time for us, to be honest, the magnitude of this game, because it really, you know, it's one we know we have to win, and, you know, we'll be going out to win it.
Yeah, when we spoke to you last time, we mentioned about the community focus for the club with your vets, your youth teams, and when you restarted the club just before you came in, it was all about getting the community spirit going. And it was nice to see that you remember the season ticket holders when you offered this refund. So people that bought a ticket last week, they can get free entry to South Shields game this weekend. But obviously season ticket holders would already do that anyway. So I believe that they can collect a free meal. Is that right at this game?
Yes, that's right. Because, yeah, I understand a season ticket pays his money at the start, so he wouldn't benefit from any sort of refund. So, yeah, we had to do something, but we went one step further because, obviously, we do have a community representation at our games from all our younger players and their parents who come in, and they don't pay to come in. They're members of the club. So they'll get the same as well. So I think we've got to stock up on pies this weekend.
Wow.
Just cover that all off. So, but, yeah, we've got no issue with this at all.
Well, if Dave and I weren't already previously engaged, we might be
mentioned
putting our hands
up. Yeah. Someone mentioned pies.
Again, when we spoke to you the last time out, we were talking about your five promotions in 7 years, and I think you said then it was an unbelievable journey. You're already doing well in step three. I think back then your four-year plan was to look for Conference North football, but I've seen mention of a new five-year plan in the Football League.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of reevaluated for this season because it has gone really well for us. I think what's really stood out for us is, even with the injuries, and unfortunately at the time we've had all the injuries, we've played the top four, so we had four. But we lost everyone by the odd goal, you know. And so before last Saturday, no one has really swept us aside. So I think we are just of the thinking that, you know, we've got a good squad, and with a couple of really good additions in the summer, we can really give this a good go next year. So yeah, we are ahead of schedule, and we do see an opportunity to pull those timescales forward.
No, I think that's you have to be positive, and you have to look to keep pushing the thing forward. And I've wrote down here, when you're talking about playing the top four sides during all your injuries, What people don't often realise, supporters or not, is timing is massive in football. What I mean by that is hitting the big boys when you're in form, when maybe they're out of form. Going into games, where if you go into this game with, you know, with the injuries you have, and you can't sort of compete with the top four, whereas maybe if you were playing someone from the bottom four, you'd have picked up more points. That's the sort of bit of football that's a little bit of luck. If you time things right, and you can't, when I say you time things right, it's luck that makes you time them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I'll put it back that exactly. We played Scarborough, who were the top team, on the 1st of December, running away with the league, 10 points clear. And, you know, we no disrespect to them, we really took it to them that day and beat them comfortably. And then the next day, next week, we go to Farsley with a lot of injuries picked up from that game. And then we've just lost a close game. And then that's just seemed to have happened all through December. It's really sort of, you know, I think we could have given these teams really real room for the money, I think, with the full strength squad. And that's what we've got to aim for the rematches, you know, when we're playing later in the season.
Yeah.
So, Chris, is the aim another promotion this season?
The aim of the manager is, you know, myself, I always said, look, you know, top eight consolidation would be a good first season at this level because it was such an unknown for us. But as I say, because we've done reasonably well, and we always said if we were there or thereabouts at the turnaround of the year, then we would give it a good shot. And that's where we are. We have performed better than what we thought. And even that's off the back of losing the last four. And we're still in touch. So, yeah, we will certainly give it a good go. And I would fancy us to get close to the playoffs. I really would.
Yeah, I think as well, Chris, that, you know, everyone has a blip. It's just what you do when you come out of it. And, you know, you can't have two blips if you want promotion, but you can certainly have one.
100%. And as I say, I think we've had our blip now. We've played out of the top five. We've played three of them twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not taking anything for granted with that hard work, but yeah, well, I think we've had our blip, and I think looking at the lads in training last night, I think there's a very focused determination to put the record straight. So yeah, I think if someone's looking for a game for Saturday for an upset, I think it's possibly could be this one. But that's not taking nothing away from South Shields. Sure. They're a fabulous team also.
Yeah, you mentioned the manager, Martin Carruthers, and he's been in charge since 2012. I mean, you've been there, you were the manager before and the chairman there since 2011 now. It sounds like you've got a real family club, so that's probably why it hurts so much on Saturday. But do you think that's the reason why you've been so successful over the number of years?
I think, you know, even in businesses out of football and that, it's all about stability.
Yeah,
it's all about trust, and it's all about respect. And there's just too many of teams that just chop and change all over the place, you know. And people were coming to me on Saturday night saying, "Oh, you know, is it time to change your manager?" And it would never be time. You know, not a chance. I would rather give him a new contract rather than change him, and that's off the back of the run we've had, because I do trust his ability so much and his management team. I'll keep trusting them, and as I say to you, yeah, we've got a very good working relationship.
Yeah, I think that's massive. I think it's something. There's a couple of things going out of football. I think good headers of the ball's one. I think tackling, tackling's gone out of football, and I think that chairman and board's putting a bit of depth and time into the managers they employ is another one that's disappeared. And, you know, people might say it works. I don't think it works. I think that stability is massive. I think stability gives the manager power in the dressing room, where when the player looks at the manager and he wants to take him on, which can happen, by the status that the board give the manager, gives him his strength to go, you know, you ain't winning this. And if you have a look at the way the club works, you'll know. Whereas I think some dressing rooms can get rid of the manager too easy these days, Chris, you know?
100%. And one thing about Martin is they're all his players. He's brought them in over a year, so he can't say they're not his players. And
yeah.
We don't want anybody to come in and say they're not my, you know, because we've seen that at Notts County, which is just obviously our local professional club.
And by the way, what a manager you've got. I know him personally, Neil Ardley. and Neil Cox.
Yeah, really nice.
Really, and if you ever want him to do anything for your community, for your club, I'm telling you, he would never let you down. And Neil Cox as well, the assistant. Very good golfer, Neil Cox, so don't play golf with him.
All right, yes. Yeah, well, we see them daily because, I say, they train at our ground. And they're such, they are a breath of fresh air. But it's like anything, they will need time to instill their beliefs and get, you know, and we just hope that they're giving it.
Well, maybe they could learn from you, Chris. Fantastic talking to you again. And hopefully we'll talk to you maybe before the end of the season for another promotion run.
Who knows? But if not, no, we'll just reflect on a great season. But thank you so much for having us on the show. Much appreciated.
Yeah, good luck, mate. And if you see Neil, tell him Dave Anderson said hello.
Will do, definitely. Cheers. Of course I will. Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Dave, nice to talk to an old-fashioned chairman.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? I never get this, you know. Well, if you've seen my wardrobe, you know I'm old-fashioned, you know. But I know it's easy for me because I'm a manager and I want stability and I want to, you know, and it just seems to me that you're not allowed to have a blip anymore. You're not allowed to have a downtime, you know. And as much as we all work really, really hard and we, you know, we try hard, and we were talking about it. I think it'd be wrong to, no, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to someone earlier on about a manager who I know who had finished, who could have got relegated a couple of years ago and missed it on the, you know, when they rejigged the leagues and the club didn't sack him and the team's now in a playoff position. And I just think that you have to allow, I'm not saying everybody gets relegated, gets capped on, but what I am saying is that when you look at the way people hire and fire these days, I think the one I used a few years ago, it's microwave oven success, isn't it? You know, everybody wants the ding, you know, in 2 minutes. Stability is what it's about. Look at, you know, when you've, unless you've got mega bucks, Man City bucks, and, you know, I still, even then, don't think it works. I think he sounds good. I'd love to work for him because he's pragmatic, he knows what's going on, and I think that relationship is the big relationship, you know, the chairman and the manager, and they've proved, look at their track record, you know.
Now, some people in football shy away from those resounding public backings from the board, but our next guest is thriving. He's been given one this week as he continues in the caretaker management role alongside Tristan Lewis at Mason United. Following the Christmas departure of Harry Wheeler, the two formerly assisted him have stepped up and after a good initial impact have been given at least until the end of the month to guide the Kent club, currently sitting second from bottom in the National League and 3 points from safety. Hopefully up that table, but it's FA Trophy for them this weekend, so it's a warm welcome we give to Simon Wharton. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you very much. How are we?
We're all right. What about yourself? Now, it's you know, you stepped up to the plate, and I guess your mobile phone's gone into meltdown.
Yeah, literally. It's been a chaotic couple of weeks, 3 weeks. It feels like 6 months already, but yeah, it's. It's been an eye-opening experience, shall we say. My phone's normally dead, no one wants to speak to me, and then all of a sudden, the last 2 or 3 weeks, everyone becomes your friend again. So yeah, it's been enjoyable but hectic at the same time.
You mentioned everybody becomes your friend again, because the endorsement from the board is a positive after 2 wins from 3 since you guys took on the role. A 1-0 win at Boreham Wood, New Year's Day defeat at home to Dover, but and a 2-1, really good 2-1 win away at Hartlepool. And it does seem that the team seems to have gelled again. The personalities seem to be working together.
Yeah, I mean, we're not getting carried away. I think if you look at the ratio of how teams generally do as soon as a manager leaves, I think generally the next couple of results as a rule are positive, but it's just been the whole atmosphere has changed around the place, not just the players, but I think the fans around the ground and around the people who are there. It's just kind of become a nicer environment to work in again after what was a struggle. We all added to that over the last few months as players, and we're just trying our best now to get people enjoying it again, because if you enjoy what you do, then you're going to thrive at it. If you don't, then if you don't enjoy coming into work or the environment that you're in, then you're never going to be able to perform. So that's the main thing that we've tried to implicate since we come in, is just getting people smiling again, really.
And you strike me as a sort of person that, you know, if you're given an opportunity, you step up and you do the best that you can. But it's always a hard one to step in when a friend and colleague departs, like Harry Wheeler. He had 3.5 months in charge. Did you have to think twice about stepping up and moving in?
I think for me, and I've said and I stick by it, in an ideal situation, Harry would still be manager, I'd still be playing, and we'd be doing fine. Like, this is not something that I wanted to do. I hadn't even considered management or anything like that. It's nothing. I'm not one of them players who goes, oh, yeah, I'll stay going to management. It's not something that I considered, not something that was really high up on my list, to be honest. But I think just for the club's sake, because it all happened so quickly, we kind of had to do it just to kind of steady the ship for the time being. And I think we owed it to ourselves as players, and we owed it to Harry, who's brought us in, because the bottom line is we obviously didn't perform, or else he'd still be in the job. So it's up to us now as a group of people to kind of resurrect what he kind of tried bringing in at the start.
The five successive defeats, 12 points from 15 games since Harry had come in. So there needed to be a change. But what are the changes that you have made?
Not with regards to personnel, obviously not an awful lot. I think we've brought Josh and the goalkeeper in, which was obviously we had to with Ross going back. But like I said, it's just trying to enjoy it again. As a player who's played here, there and everywhere, I've always played my best football when you're enjoying it, which sounds stupid and sounds like should be an obvious thing, but it's not always the case. So although we've tried to make it enjoyable and we've tried giving everyone a bit of an ego boost, but at the same time, we've got to realise that we owe it to ourselves more than anything to start producing, because on a whole, obviously, we haven't during the course of the season, or else we wouldn't be where we are. But yeah, the main thing that we said, and we said to the players when we came in, was you've got to start enjoying it again, playing with freedom, remembering how good a player you can be, because you get bogged down when it's not going right. So we've just tried to bring people out of their shells. And I think the sentence we came up with when we took over was get out the cage, unlock the cage. So that's what we've tried to do. And it seems to be working so far, but we're not daft. We know we're not going to keep winning every single game. There'll be down times, as there always is. So it's just kind of keeping that feel good factor going and just keep believing, and that's all you can do, and we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fans earlier on. They obviously had a lot of stability when Jay Saunders was there. Then, fans don't like change, but yeah. I know you've also been trying to embrace them in an open training session, and you said that there seems to be a better buzz around the club. Are the engaging with the fans, is that going to be an important part of you getting out of the drop zone?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is for us, especially because we're terrible at home. I think we've won one game all season. But yet we're still the fifth best supported club in the league. And then there's some very big clubs in this league. So for us to be the fifth highest supported and for us to only win one game at home, we're obviously not utilising them in the best way. So I think to get everybody on board, and it's the old thing, it's get everyone together and we'll get out of it. The old 12th man cliche comes into place, but you've got to use it. Like I said, we got 3,000 there the other day. We've got 3 out of our next 4 games at home. So we've got to start winning games at home, and we've got to start utilising those fans, because they've been brilliant. And like I said, to be fifth highest support in a league where there's a lot of big clubs, we've got to start embracing it and become one.
Yeah, and so this management lark, it wasn't anything you'd never looked at before. You're still a young gun as a player as well. How are you balancing everything else you've got to do and thinking about maybe playing as well?
Yeah, it's been tough on that regard. Because like I said, I've not even considered it. I didn't particularly, might sound a bit harsh, but I didn't particularly want to do it. It's nothing that I've ever thought. I know some people want to go into management. I've never even thought about it. So, yeah, and I played every single game. It's not that I was struggling and in and out of the team. I'd literally played every single game up until when we took over. I've not played in the last 3. because you just, I don't think really you can kind of, to start with, especially when it's still up in the air and everything's getting sorted, you can't fully commit to both. You've got to kind of do one or the other. And then as we start finding our feet and as the season goes on, whatever may happen, there's probably going to be games that I will be needed in, and maybe 20 minutes at the end. I think we had Dover at home, which was our second game, which in an ideal situation I would have been needed on the pitch. But I think for me and for us to get the best out of the lads and for them to get the best out of me would have been not to try and split yourself in half, because then you end up doing half a job at either. And at the minute, because it's new to me, I just needed to fully focus and fully commit myself to doing to this. But I've certainly not retired. I've been training the last week as normal with the lads, and I will be putting myself into the hat for team selection and consideration. So it's up to me to impress myself and get in the team now.
That's good to know. Not retired, probably very tired, but not retired yet. You've been given until the end of January at least. Would you be keen to follow it on if things are going well?
If things are going well, I think if we keep picking up points and the feel-good factor and everything around it keeps going, I think it would probably make sense to carry it on. But like I said, we could lose the next three games and it all looks a hell of a lot different. So we're not stupid. We're not getting carried away. I've been there, done it, seen it all as a player, and I've been in this situation before on the other side. So I know things can turn very quickly. So I think if we win another two out of the next three games, then that's a hell of a start. And I'm sure people would be keen for us to continue. But it is, again, the old cliche of one game at a time or one week at a time at the minute. And we'll keep doing our best and keep doing what we have been doing. And as long as the lads and them keep believing in us and keep believing in themselves, then hopefully there's no reason why it should change.
So the aim's got to be that scrap and get yourselves out of relegation zone, you know, keep staying in the National League. But then you've got this big weekend ahead, FA Trophy this weekend. Is that a pleasant distraction, or is it too much of a distraction?
It's a little bit of both, because at the minute our squad is very threadbare, I'm not going to lie. So we'll probably go into the game with maybe one or two senior players on the bench, which I think we're missing four or five, which might be nice for them to come back refreshed for a massive game Tuesday night. But we've had some good days in the Cup this year, the FA Cup and obviously the two trophy games that we've had. But it's another game of football that we've got to try and win. The old famous word in football, momentum. If we win again on Saturday, that's three wins in four going into, like I said, what's going to be a massive couple of weeks, and a couple of weeks that could have a massive impact on the rest of the season. So players will get games who haven't played recently, which will be nice for them and nice for us as obviously joint managers to see how they're progressing, and gives people more minutes and keeps them involved. So every game of football you're going to win, and I don't believe in this kind of concentrating the league. You got to try and win every game of football. That should be our aim, as whether you're a player or a manager. So we will pick the best team that is available to us. We watched Oxford City the other day, and they're a good team. They try and play football, playing the right way. They've got a striker who's scored a hell of a lot of goals, so it's not going to be easy. But if we do what we're good at and what we've been doing, then hopefully it should be a positive outcome.
Yeah, you mentioned Oxford City. You know, they obviously had a great FA Cup run this season as well, and they knocked Maidenhead United out in that replay. So they'll be looking for another scalp as well. And how do you sit your stall out to stop Kabongo Shimanga, who scored all those goals, or you're just going to play your game?
I think another bit of our focus for the last couple of weeks is we've concentrated more on ourselves. Sometimes you can look too much into other teams and you can do overanalyze everything. So the players will be made aware of strengths, obviously, of the other team, which is the professional and right way to go about it. Like I said, I've seen him a couple of times. I know various people who've watched him play, and he's been linked with moves here, there and everywhere, and he scored a hell of a lot of goals in that league. So, yeah, he will obviously be spoke about in the meetings, etc. before, but he's not the only one. They've got some decent players attacking-wise, and they're quite experienced at the back in the middle. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But again, as we've kind of said to the lads before on the league games we've had, it's more about us doing what we're good at on the day. And if we do what we're good at and the players play to their capable levels, then we're a match for anybody on our day, as we have shown so far in the three games previous.
Yeah, nobody said it was going to be easy, but it's such a big competition, the FA Trophy. Second round there, the last 32 already, and there's already a number of National League sides out. There's big ties like Wrexham, Leighton Orient this round. You've got Salford, Dagenham this round, Halifax, Solihull Moors. So it's a catch-22, because there's a really good chance for a club like yours to make Wembley.
Yeah, definitely. But one thing that was pointed out to me the other day was, I think the last two winners, well, I think I know Brackley won it last year, but I think the last two winners before that have also been relegated. So someone pointed that out to me kindly the other day. So, yeah, hopefully we can break that mould, and to stay up and get to Wembley would be obviously a great end of the season. But like I said, we don't get carried away. We'll take one game at a time. But it's a great competition, obviously, for the chance for the non-league clubs to get to Wembley, which is, I'm sure, everybody's dream to play at Wembley one day. I'm fortunate I've done it a couple of times. So, yeah, it's, like I said, one game at a time, and we will pick our best team that's available to us and be aiming to win the game.
Well, Simon, it's been fantastic talking to you. It's nice to hear somebody that wasn't overly keen to get involved in management, staying very philosophical and positive, and you seem to be enjoying it.
That's all you can do, stay positive. Like I said, it's the best job in the world, what I keep saying to the lads. So if you don't enjoy it, there's no point doing it. So that's all we can do.
Well, good luck at the weekend, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
So time for us to head over to the non-league paper, and welcome back to editor Alex Neri. Alex, it's a bit quieter after Christmas in the non-league game.
Yeah, it is. It was a pretty hectic Christmas, though. There were it was a very busy festive period, obviously, with the likes of Salford coming off the rails a little bit and then finding their form again with New Year victories against Wrexham and last week against Leighton Orient. But yeah, plenty of ups and downs for us to talk about over the festive period. Quite a few managerial changes, but it seems like we're just settling down a little bit now, and everybody's kind of recharging their batteries for what will be a busy run into the end of the season.
Yeah, start with that Salford away win at Leighton Orient last week, which is really set the National League ready for this new year. We've got FA Trophy sort of interfering with the league programme this weekend, but it's so tight at the top of the National League there.
Yeah, well, it is tight now. That game, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, had the potential to almost put Salford out of the title charge. They'd lost their way so much, you know, losing 5-1 against Wrexham on Boxing Day and then losing against Barrow in the next game. I think they lost four games on the spin. And yesterday's game actually had the potential to, like I say, if they hadn't won their game against Wrexham and Leighton Orient hadn't lost against Dagenham, they could have been something like 10 or 12 points behind had they lost last week. So now they've got it back to 2 points. I know Wrexham had a bit of a wobble as well, losing three games on the spin since New Year's Day. So it's all of a sudden Salford are right back in it. And I've always said from ball one, Tim, that I think they're the team to beat. I think they've got the muscle and the power to go out there and get players in as and when they need them. And I just think that will see them over the line. I think that I think it promised to be a fantastic title charge between those two teams. And I think it will become a two-horse race, actually. But, yeah, Salford right back in it, and it promised to be a thrilling second half of the season.
But, obviously, no league programme this weekend because we're all focusing on the FA Trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's some... Yeah, there's some interesting ties in there. You've got Chesterfield. I think it will be John Sheridan's first game in his second spell as manager. So he'll be welcoming Bedford Town. And you've got the likes of Ramsbottom, who are playing their first, I think their first game in the second round of the FA Trophy. So good on them. We're getting into that sort of time of the FA Trophy where there aren't many except three or four teams left, there's only really a handful, and the big guns are kind of you know, licking their lips and realising that they're not that far away from a trip to Wembley. It's quite bizarre. We talk about the FA Trophy and these kind of step one clubs, these National League clubs, not having the love and the affection for that tournament that they should have. And it's quite bizarre. They come into the tournament in December and come January, February, they're just a few games away from a day out of Wembley. So it's holding up, and it'll be a good weekend this weekend. I'm sure there's some good ties to look out for.
Yeah, as you mentioned, there's some big ties. There's Salford, Dagenham, you've got Wrexham, Leighton Orient, but there's also some big ties with clubs that maybe are step three and fours that are involved there. So, you know, one of the ties that caught my eye, Hereford, Brackley Town. I mean, it could be a cup final anyway, couldn't it?
Well, absolutely. Brackley, who won it and won it really well last May. That was a great... I really enjoyed finals day last year. And I spoke to Kevin Wilkin last month, and they're very much... Although the league is important to them, and of course it's important to them, and they see themselves as a top seven side. So they see themselves as a team that can break into that playoffs and stay there. The cup run and defending the FA Trophy is really, really important to them. So they've got a very, very tough away trip to Hereford, who themselves, despite still just floating above the National North drop zone, their performances have picked up of late. They've got a lot of quite a fresh squad in there, and they're starting to build a little bit of momentum. And they all see the trophy as a bit of a break away from the stresses of the league. So both teams will go for it. It'll be quite exciting, and it's a clash of the heavyweights there. But I think for me that, like I say, at this stage of the FA Trophy, it's about the teams at step three and four and giving those guys the exposure. You know, Ramsbottom versus Weymouth is a star game for us in the paper this weekend. So, you know, Rammy are getting a bit more coverage than they normally would. It's obvious that we would have to look at a game like Wrexham versus Orient as one of the biggest games of the day, because on paper it is the biggest game of the day. But hand on heart, if you sit both those managers down and you say to themselves, you know, what do you want more? Do you want to win this Saturday, or do you want 3 points next weekend? Well, yeah, I think we all know what the answer is. So it's a big, big game, Wrexham versus Orient, but the real romance is for the teams like Ramsbottom and Bedford and Carshalton and Salisbury, who are still there and still punching away in the FA Trophy. And that's what makes the FA Trophy so special.
Yeah, and one of those step three sides that would be dreaming of, you know, maybe kick-starting their season. They're not doing too well at the moment in the Southern Premier South. It's Dorchester Town, who have got an away trip at Barnet, who were one of the big talking points of the week because of their FA Cup exploits.
Yeah, and you know, Dorchester could catch the bees cold. It's Barnet have really picked up under Darren Curry. I just wonder if John Still's exit has, and far be it for me to pour scorn on John Still. His ability as a manager, it's ridiculous to me even go there. He's phenomenal, and we respect his achievements in the game, and he's an absolute legend. And you know, everyone pays their respects to the work he's done in non-league football as a manager. But I just feel that with Darren Curry taking over, I just wonder if it was a move that the club and John felt was the right move. I wonder if it's a move that John would seem happy with. I think that he certainly wants Darren to take that team on, and the players seem to have responded to that. And the FA Cup win last week at Sheffield United, nobody saw that coming. I mean, everybody was kind of focusing on Watford's home game on Woking's home game against Watford. That was the talking point, a Southern... National League South team playing a Premier League team, and Barnet kind of went under the radar a little bit, but they went up there and they really did put a shift in. They went up there with there were no airs and graces. They really went for it, and they got the penalty, and they weren't clinging on by the sound of it. And from the reports that I've heard, they played some very good football and were matching the Blaze blow for blow. So good on them. It'll be a tough one for Dorchester to go there this weekend. Like I say, there's a bit of energy about Barnet now, and they're looking pretty good. But it's just a great weekend of trophy football, and you know, everyone's looking forward to it.
Yeah, talking of Barnet, you're saying about the impetus maybe changing there with Darren Curry coming in, but they've now got, you know, a winnable tie in the next round of the FA Cup at home to Brentford. They're in this trophy game on Saturday, but you also look at their league form. You know, they are, what, they got four games in hand to get them back into the playoffs with only 12 points difference. So they could be pushing quite easily for a playoff place. Is it one of those now that you know, maybe one of the competition will have to give for Barnet?
Most probably, but I think that when a new guy comes in, as Darren Curry has, I think that they just want to keep that winning momentum. So nobody wants to lose a game of football. Yes, of course, out of the three, out of the league and the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, naturally the FA Trophy is going to be third on that list in terms of priorities. But they'll just want to keep that momentum going. So I think it's a bit of a hurdle for them to get over this weekend, but I fully expect them to get over that, and then they can take stock and see where they are. They'll make changes. They've got a good squad. They've got a deep squad there. It's not like they're scratching around and they haven't got the players to mix it up. So I'm sure Darren Curry will make a few changes where he thinks necessary, but he won't underestimate Dorchester at all. And he'll go out there and he'll put the best side out there that he thinks is capable of winning the game. In terms of their league form, they've been very up and down. They were very up and down before Christmas, but they just need to get that consistency in there, and I'm sure they will get that. I think in Darren's first game against Dagenham and Redbridge, they played some fantastic football from what I heard. And it just seems like the players have kind of warmed to Darren very quickly. It's almost a bit like he might be slightly more on their wavelength. And I don't mean that, again, with any kind of, you know, disrespect to John Still. I'm not at all saying that they weren't warming to him, but just a different face and some fresh ideas. And don't forget, Darren Curry's worked with John Still for a long time, so those ideas have come from John, and he's learnt from John Still. And so everything that's in place there is John Still's work. But I just feel that the players will be warming to Darren Curry quite well. I think Barnet will make the playoffs. I think they'll make up the ground. I just feel that it's a good enough squad, and there's enough quality there for them to edge in there. And as for their tie against Brentford, it wasn't the tie that they wanted. Let's not beat around the bush. It certainly wasn't the tie that we wanted. But at the same time, it's winnable. And I can see them, you know, getting through to the fifth round. And once you get through to the fifth round, the chances of landing a big one are huge. So I don't quite see them doing a Lincoln of a couple of years ago and getting through to the sixth round. But I can see them beating Brentford, the Battle of the Bees. I think it'll be a really tough one, but there's enough there. And you look at it from Brentford's point of view, that game, is that a game that they want? Is that a game where they want to go out there and put their bodies on the line? So, yeah, initial disappointment in the draw on Monday night when Brentford were pulled out, because there were still so many Premier League teams in the draw at that time. I think there were only nine teams left, and six of those teams were Premier League teams. So initial disappointment, but Darren Curry and Barnet will be looking at that game now and thinking, we've got the muscle to win that, and we can get through to the fifth round.
Yeah, and you know, saying managers, the new managers coming in, change can often be a good fulcrum to push on as a side. And then one of the playoff rivals for Barnet today, losing their manager at Gateshead as Steve Watson's moved to York City along with Mickey Cummins, I believe.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, because as good a job as Steve Watson's doing at Gateshead, and to be honest with you, certainly nobody at the non-league paper envisaged seeing Gateshead up and around the playoffs at this time of year. We really felt that they would be struggling. Well-documented off-field problems last season. I'm not that connected to the club in terms of what I know, but I do know that Steve Watson's working with very limited resources. As a club, in terms of the support that it gets through the gates, it's one of the lowest support, you know, the least in terms of numbers. The gates are pretty small and one of the lowest gates in the National League. I think they're averaging around about 700 to 750 through the gate each week. And I just feel that Steve Watson will probably, he probably outgrew that role quite quickly. I think he's taken them. Will they stay in the playoff hunt? Well, they may well do, but I just don't think they have the resources to get over the line in terms of promotion. So the move doesn't surprise me. I think a few people who look at it on paper, well, he's dropping down a division, but he's going to a club that's well-resourced, that has a bigger fan base, that there's a lot of potential there for them to grow. And I think he'll go in there and he'll do a really good job. He'll take the, you know, the footballing philosophy that served him so well in his playing days, and that served him so well in his earliest managerial days at Gateshead. So, you know, good luck to him. Good luck to York. I'm sure Gateshead will find a strong enough replacement for him. But it doesn't surprise me at all because York are crying out for a good young manager, and I think Steve Watson's that man.
Yeah, I suppose if you're in Gateshead position, it's disappointing, but it's better to be one place outside the playoffs looking for a new manager than maybe bottom of the table or 1 point off the drop zone.
Well, that's it. You can't say he's jumping ship because you jump ship when it's sinking, and that ship isn't sinking. He's done a wonderful job for them. As I say, I don't know the ins and outs of the budget, so it would be pretty wrong of me to comment on that, but I do know that there were some severe off-field problems in the off-season. Whether they've been fully repaired or not, I don't think so. I'm unsure of that, but I know that there wasn't much wriggle room for him in that job, and I feel that it was almost, it appeared like it was pretty much week to week, hand to mouth. But he's, like I say, he's leaving them in a fantastic position. And it's a very, very attractive job, or it's a job that looks a lot more attractive than it could do if they were a bit lot further down the table, for somebody to come in and keep on steering the ship in the right direction.
Yeah, and which brings us on quite nicely to your front page story last week. Chesterfield, a club who, you know, changed managers recently. No one's really been too sure what's been going on behind the scenes with, you know, various accounts and financial information, that sort of thing. And you thought there was a takeover, and now there's not?
Yeah, it's very, very turbulent. I think that's the word you can use. The relationship with the fans, between the fans and the board, between the fans and, you know, what is now the previous management team in Martin Allen, who paid the price for a horror run. I think in 23 games, one win in 23 games, and then the final nail in the coffin being a 4-0 hammering on Boxing Day against Solihull Moors. Whatever you do, you can't lose 4-0 on Boxing Day in front of your biggest crowd of the season. So, yeah, it's turbulent. That's the only word I can use. And, of course, last week, you know, credit to the players, to Chesterfield, for being 3-0 down and getting it back to 3-3. But of course, the story of the game and the story of the weekend, from our point of view, was the pitch invasion after they got it back to 3-3, and the serious allegations of racism, insult, and, you know, physical confrontations between a fan and Nathan Ashmore. Chesterfield fans are complaining that Nathan Ashmore was time wasting and that he was, winding them up, so to speak. Well, you know, my message to them is get real. Who doesn't time waste? And name me a goalkeeper that doesn't time waste in the 93rd minute when they're protecting a one-goal lead. So Yeah, very, very severe allegations. And the Chesterfield chief executive, Graham Bean, was alert to that. And he came out very, very quickly and made a statement after the game. And we probably wouldn't have run the story, if I'm honest with you, if we didn't have that statement. But when your chief executive comes out and he's using, he's describing it as serious repercussions for the club, then you go with it. And I know a lot of Chesterfield fans didn't like the headline that we used on the front page. They used the term out of control, but it was out of control. 60 or 70 fans run on the pitch, start scrapping with players and pushing people around, and or being pushed around by players. It's a melee. I'm not saying the Chesterfield fans ran on and started pushing players around, but you can't go on the football pitch. It's black and white. It's a criminal offence. So as soon as you do that, you're putting the safety of the players at risk, and it's a very, very serious matter. I just don't buy into this Nathan Ashmore time wasting line. You know, time wasting is a dark art of the game. It's a grey area. Nobody likes it apart from when your team is doing it in injury time. So very, very serious. I don't think that there was talk of potential point deductions. I know the FA are investigating it, and there's a police inquiry as well. Like I said, there was talk of point deductions. I don't think that will happen, and I really, really don't hope. We don't want it to happen, because 95% of decent Chesterfield fans wouldn't have given it a second thought to even go onto the pitch. So for their sake and for the club's sake, nobody wants that. And you know, give some credit to the club as well for coming out and making a statement and addressing it straight away. But it's a very, 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 very serious matter. And just bottom line, don't go on the football pitch. It's not your place to be. It's for the players. It's for the management. So stay away.
Yeah, and you know, as journalists, we always, you know, like to make sure that we've got sources that are secure and back up there. I mean, for people that don't know Graham Bean, his background in football is Mr. Discipline, isn't it, really? And sort of overseeing those sort of things. And he's coming as chief executive officer at Chesterfield now. And as you say, it's so important that clubs do come out with the right sort of statements. And it looks like they want to clamp down on any discrepancies, any issues they've got there. And hopefully that'll be for the better of the game.
Yeah, well, they've put banning orders in place for three fans. I believe one from Saturday's episode, and I might be wrong here, but I think it's actually two from, because there was a pitch invasion at halftime on Boxing Day as well, and I think two fans from that game have received banning orders, and the club are working with police now and saying very firmly that there will be more banning orders put in place as and when they identify individuals. But as you say, Graham Bean's background in the game, it's natural that he would come out and make that statement and address that straight away. He realises what you have to do in these circumstances. You know, Nathan Ashmore, I've watched him play football quite a lot, and he's a very, very good. He's very good and very professional at wasting time, and I mean that very respectfully. I just think to myself, when football fans say, "Oh, you know, he was asking for it, he was winding us up, it's time wasting, somebody needs to look at him." Well, sorry. You know, football fans go to games and they chant at the opposition, they chant at the referee, they throw dog's abuse at players. With the moment Nathan Ashmore or a player turns around and kind of gives something back, they're all up in arms, as if to say, you can't do that to us. And like I say, time wasting, it's a dark art. It's a grey area of the game that people love or people hate, but it's not doing anything that is kind of pushing the rules too far. He actually got booked for the time wasting, so the referee has addressed that matter. I just feel that, like I say, points deductions, it's too far, but I do sometimes look at headlines that are in the paper the following day, and I think to myself, you know, does that fit the story, or have we got it right there? And in most cases, I'm always very happy. But I was very, very happy with that, out of control, because quite frankly, when fans run onto the pitch and start confronting players, it's out of control, and you just cannot do it. Don't go on the football pitch. Stay in the stands and watch the game.
Well, hopefully this weekend we'll have the right sort of headlines to be reading on Sunday morning. What else can we expect in the paper this weekend, Alex?
Well, it's an FA Trophy big weekend, so it's pretty full on that. We have got quite a bit of reaction from Barnett's win up at Sheffield United, and also Woking as well, because we can't forget those guys. They put in a real shift against Watford, who were just too good for them. But yeah, we're kind of looking ahead to the rest of the season. We've also spoken to Graham Alexander following Salford's fantastic victory at Wrexham. And it's full steam ahead as usual. Plenty to do on a Friday, but it's that time of year. It's almost the calm before the storm. Everyone's taken a bit of a breather for a couple of weeks before we kick into action again for the rest of the season.
Alex, it's been fantastic talking to you again. Have a great weekend and speak to you soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks, mate.
So that's it for this week. A big thank you to Dave Anderson for being with me. A big thank you to all of our guests, and a big thank you all for listening. Dave, what's the weekend hold?
The weekend holds an away trip to Hamworth Villa, who have just changed their manager a couple of weeks ago. And again, like every game of football, it'll be tough enough. But it's been good to be back, and I'm going back to have a lem sip and go to bed, to be honest.
And sort the long johns out for the weekend.
Absolutely, yes. It's fresh, to say the least, you know.
Well, don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. You can listen to us, find us every week on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, Tuning Radio, Smart Speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA.